Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table on this St. Patrick's Day. Our daughter let me know that I am not wearing the appropriate colors for today. And we have friends and folks in our community who are running right now a half marathon, and so we're going to pray for them. The ones that are run real fast, they're probably already done, so we're praying for their celebration. And the ones that are still running will appreciate our prayers. So God, may your spirit guide their feet. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're willing or able. We're going to move together into worship with a song that comes from The Brilliance. This is See the Love.
Every day we go to war again, we assume we know so much more than them before we hear what they have to say. Headline breaks and we start to hate again, calling them names again. We give our peace away. I hope they see it, 'cause I want to see it. I hope we believe it. I want to see the love all around you, all around you. I want to know that love is all around you. It's all around. I want to know the love.
Let the wilderness in. Grow a forest for a heart. Make your very blood a salve of pine and open sky. Seek wild.
My Wow. Welcome. As I was walking towards here, this place just smells so good. My sensory is I love that. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. For those who are gathering online at table.live, our host Nancy Allen is with you. And if you have any questions, Nancy is there to guide you. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. Holy Week begins Sunday, next Sunday, with worship on Palm Sunday. Our Holy Week at the Table schedule is online. We'll be at the Table Farm March 28th for potluck on Monday, Thursday, here in person and online on Holy Friday, March 29, in Rose Garden at McKinley Park for 6:30 Sunday sunrise on Easter, and here in person and online for Easter worship celebration at 9:30 and 11 on March 31st. We hope you can plan to join us, and also encourage you to invite neighbors or friends who might be looking for community as we move towards Easter. Usually I say this, Christmas, the candlelight service, and Easter sunrise service, and Holy Friday is one of my favorite, utmost favorite. I shouldn't be choosing anyone above any, but this is my own personal preference. I love it. Even though I'm not a morning person and I survive on coffee on that day, but I love it. When you feel ready to connect with others, our co-pastors lead a series called Korean Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share life here at the table. We have two Growing in Faith series, which is underway right now. Our co-pastors will lead two more Growing in Faith opportunities. They're host a retreat in Davis, April 12 and 13, and also a six-week series at the table in Sacramento beginning Tuesday, April 23rd. Please sign up today if you'd like to connect with others. I just have to look at Pastor Matt and Linda and say, this is a great sign that we have a lot of growing faith opportunities, and I love it. I also would like to tell and request, I'll be sending out an email for volunteers for Easter sunrise service. There's two opportunities. It's on Saturday, on March 30th, where we will be coming here and loading chairs, tables, and other items. And on Sunday at 5:30 for volunteers to come in and help in setting up McKinley Park. So I will be sending out an email. Please have a look out. Also, the sign up for hospitality will be open by this afternoon. I would love and request people to sign up as your heart desire. We will continue to move in worship with our music team sharing another new song they created in January while on a writing retreat. This is very first time we shared this song. The lyrics are inspired by poetry by Howard Thurman. Please remain seated as we continue in worship with our music team sharing Look Well.
The earth beneath my feet is the
And the roots are silently at work. Darkness of the earth against a time where there shall be
new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit trees. Yeah, such as the foliage.
Dramatic and come to death. Look well to the growing end.
Life is dying, and life is being born. All around us, life is dying, and life is being born.
It's ripening, and the silently at work, darkness of the earth against a time where there shall be
new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit trees, yeah, such as the growing edge.
The hope in the moment, incentive to carry on when life is
Y'all are amazing. What a music team. My name is Bob Martinez, and whether you're here in person enjoying this or online, you are so welcome to the table. At this time, I invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians help us with a little walking music. I'll remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Throughout worship and at both 9:30 and 11, and godly play takes place upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Next one, Dan. Our reading this morning comes from the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament, with some minor revisions for inclusiveness, and of course we invite you to follow along. Now, along with the tribal members of Wrestles with Creator, Israel, who came to participate in the Passover festival, there were also many outsiders from other nations who would come. There were people from these nations who came to celebrate the festival from the land of wisdom seekers, Greece. These were people who often prided themselves in their study of wisdom and of knowledge. They went up to friend of horses, Philip, who was from the house of fishing, Bethsaida, in Circle of Nations in Galilee. Now, knowing him to be one who walked with Creator sets free, in Jesus, they said to him, "Honored friend, we would like to see Creator sets free, your wisdom keeper." Friend of horses did not know what to do, so he found Stands with Courage, Andrew, and asked him what he thought. Then together they both went to see Creator sets free and told him that the wisdom seekers wished to see him. He answered them, "It is time for the true human being to be lifted up to his place of honor. I speak from my heart. If a seed is unplanted, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, falls to the earth, and enters the ground, it will then grow and become many, many seeds. The ones who love the kind of life this world gives will lose the life they seek. But the ones who let go of their life in this world and follow my ways will find the life of the world to come that never fades away, full of beauty and of harmony. Tell these wisdom seekers to walk the road with me. Anyone who wants to serve me will walk in my footsteps, and I will take them to the same place that I am going. If they give up their lives to serve me in this way, my Creator will honor them." A look of sorrow came over the face of Creator Sets Free. "But now I am deeply troubled and in anguish," he said. "Should I ask my Creator to rescue me from this hour that has now come? No, I came into the world for this time and for this purpose." He then lifted his face, looked up to the sky, and sent his words to the Great Spirit. "Creator," he prayed, "honor your name and show the world the beauty of it." Suddenly, a voice from above spoke out of the sky, "I have honored my name, for it represents who I am, and I will once again honor and show the beauty of it." Now some of the people standing nearby heard the voice and said, "Was that thunder?" Others said, "No, a spirit messenger has spoken to him. Creator sets free said to them, "This voice you heard was not for my sake, but for yours. It is a sign to you that it is now time for the Great Spirit to make their final decision about this world. The evil one who now rules this world will be defeated and thrown down, but I, the true human being, will be lifted up from the ground and nailed to a cross. This is the way I will bring all nations, all things in the spirit world above and the earth below, to myself." Creator sets free said this to show the kind of death he would die and what his death would accomplish.
Have to set this and this so I can read over it. So that is what I am doing right now. This week, I between the song that our music team created, Growing Edge, and the scripture and other writings from Howard Thurman, I learned a nature lesson that I want to share. Many of you probably already know this, but I didn't know it. So in a book of essays and poems that's titled Meditations of the Heart, Howard Thurman, who's a mystic and a pastor, taught about the unique quality of the jack pine tree. And it's likely that this is old news to so many of my friends. That shows you that I don't hike much. I walk on concrete. The pine cone on the jack pine, so pine trees have pine cones. I knew that. I didn't know that. But each pine cone is unique. And so the jack pine cone requires artificial heat to release the seed from the cone. And the cones, I learned, often remain closed for years and years and years. And even though that happens, the seeds retain their viability. The cones which have dropped to the ground will open a little bit because of the sun in the sky, but the establishment of the majority of our jack pine stands, which we have a lot of those in California, they're all over, but we have a lot of them, has been established following forest fires. Seldom do the cones ever release their majority of their seeds while they're either on the tree, like a lot of other pine cones do, or just when they fall off, unless there's a forest fire. The seed won't be given up by the cone unless it's like subjected to sustained and concentrated heat. I lived through the Oakland Hills fire. I understand that there are things that only grow after a fire. After the fire sweeps through all before it so that everything else is charred, right? It's then that in the midst of those ashes, the secret of the cone gets exposed. And the tender seeds find the stirring of life deep within themselves, and what is deepest in the seed reaches out to what is deepest in life, light and earth. And the result is a tender shoot and really gentle roots until at last there stands a pine tree. A pine tree. Yes. Thank you for listening. Jesus said, "I speak from my heart. If a seed is unplanted, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, falls to the earth and enters the ground, it will then grow and become many, many seeds." Matthew Meyer Bolton, he's a New Testament scholar, reminds us in our climate faith guide this week, this is how Jesus pictures his work. He's planting a seed. Those against him might have thought they were going to get rid of him and kill him, but in fact, they were planting him. And in the fullness of time from his death, from his life, from his death and his resurrection, arose the movement that is the church, which is how all of us come to be here today, thousands of years later. So one of the most challenging questions then that Jesus raises is the connection between our lives and his death. And this is the journey we make with him through the season of Lent, trying to make sense of the death of Jesus. You know, I really can't count the amount of times I have been asked some version of the question, Linda, do you believe Jesus died for our sins? And whenever I get asked some version of that question, I tread very lightly because it's not an easy row to hoe. Believing that Jesus died for the sins of the world makes sense to me, but exactly how does that work? And what does it look like? And how do you explain it? Some imagine a pile of sin, past, present, future, there at the, you know, the base of the cross. And then when Jesus dies, poof, so too all of those sins. I should have had Corey do an animation because that's how I see it. Some imagine God as an angry bookkeeper, keeping an account of each individual sin for each individual and expecting the debt to get paid. Then Jesus on the cross steps up and says, I'll pay for them. And then everything is all settled, and God closes the book on sin. But that happened thousands of years ago. So how does that work today? Tomorrow? Into the future? Does Jesus just keep dying and dying and dying? And what sort of God expects that anyway? Ooh. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, is where we hear Jesus talking about all of these things. And according to John, Jesus said these things while in Jerusalem during Passover in the last week of his life. And it happened when some Greeks who were there for the Passover festival asked to come see him. This request was a sign to him that his time was about to be up, that his hour had come. See, these Greeks were not local people. They were not even friends of friends. They were from across the sea, and they had come to meet this holy man they had been hearing about way over where they lived. And those in power noticed that he was being noticed. And the more well-known Jesus became, the more he posed a threat to empire. Something would just have to be done. Reminds me of Alexei Navalny. The more his word of freedom spread, the more threatened Putin becomes until death. It's time for the true human being to be lifted up, he said. To his place of honor, I speak from my heart. If a seed is unplanted, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, falls to the earth, and enters the ground, it will then grow, become many seeds. Jesus is talking about the redemptive power of suffering, and it's never easy to hear words like these. Maybe it is like last week when Pastor Matt was talking about how God takes the thing we imagine to be the worst thing in the world and uses it to bring life and healing and hope. Likening the seed to something is something that everyone could understand. Right? And it helps those with ears to hear, imagine the great reversal, which upends our lives. Barbara Brown Taylor writes about it like this. What he is telling us is that if we do everything in our power to protect our lives the way they are, if we successfully prevent change, prevent conflict, prevent pain, then at the end we will find that we had no life at all. But if we hate our lives in this world, which as far as I'm concerned can only mean if we hate all the ways we cheapen our lives by chasing comfort, safety, superiority in this world, if we hate that enough to stop it and start chasing God instead, then there will be no end to the abundance of our lives. And the same went for him. Jesus could have chosen to protect himself and avoid suffering. It would have been actually fairly simple. Stop walking around everywhere. Go underground. Stop gathering people. No matter what happens, people congregate around you. Stop telling those stories, or at least tone them down. Maybe he could find more palatable ways of speaking to those in power so as not to ruffle so many feathers. Definitely stop sharing his table with those on the margins. Show more respect for organized religion. Ooh, that would be how to love his life and save it. Or he could love something more than he loved his life, which means suffering not as a goal, and I really hope you hear that, not as a goal, but as a byproduct. If he kept up his way of telling stories and confronting the powers, it was only a matter of time. If he stayed accessible to those who were drawn to him, if he kept living in his confrontational way, then we know what lay ahead. But I believe he had a choice, and that is an important part of his story. There are many, many, many ways to suffer that have no connection to the Jesus story. We witness them all around us: war, genocide, famine, horrid things. And the people in those situations do not have a choice. That's not the sort of suffering I'm talking about today, just to be clear. I'm referring to the kind of suffering Jesus chose, not as a goal, but as a byproduct of his choice to be fully who God intended him to be, no matter what the cost. Womanist theologian Dr. Katie Geneva Cannon says, do the work your soul must have. Such a simple phrase. Do the work your soul must have. That is what Jesus did. A seed cannot grow unless it dies, is how he explained it. If you put it under glass and wear it as a charm on your bracelet, I had one of those mustard seed on my charm bracelet. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. It'll be a pretty piece of jewelry that your grandmother gave you. But that's all it is. The seed has to fall into the folds of the earth and be buried. A theologian writes about it like this: it has to sit down there in the dark until its hour comes, when it will swell, crack, and hatch new life, a green shoot that will climb towards the sun until it breaks through, becoming a golden stalk of wheat that bears much fruit. If you dig around in its roots looking for the seed, you won't find it anymore. It's dead and gone. It gave up its life so that there could be more wheat in the world. It's a costly discipleship. For some of us, this is a different understanding of Jesus' death, because many were taught that Jesus died to atone for our sins. That's the angry, God is the angry bookkeeper theology. But according to the Gospel of John, which you are hearing read this morning, Jesus died to fill the world with wheat. To fill the world with wheat so that we might have all the bread we need to eat. Jesus, he could have written a book instead, right? Or a papyrus, whatever. He could have gone on the speaking circuit more. He could have started a podcast. Those are all the rage. And that would have worked for a while, because I believe, though, he chose to lose his life because what he wanted to share mattered so much, he was willing to show us what it meant instead of just talking about it. And looking around in this room, thousands of years later, it seems to me his seed has borne much fruit. My grandson's driving me nuts. It might be time for Hudson to go, Grandpa. Yeah. I'm sorry. Shake it off. Shake it off. In the same way, following Jesus, our actions, even the ones that at the first may seem like defeat, can plant seeds and bear fruit for generations to come. This week in our resource of Climate Plus Faith, we are encouraged to set flexible time-bound goals. In your climate action plan, what are the seeds you want to plant for the generations to come? For the Hudsons to come? What changes would you like to make in your life? What do you want to do first? What parts of your plan are for now, and what parts are going to ripple out for later? Thinking about that jack pine tree again, actually some cones do open a little bit as I studied it, but the majority of them don't ever open. And after explaining how the jack pine cones remain in that glued shut state until they drop in a forest fire, I mean, that could be years, burns through, Howard Thurman wrote this. It's not too far afield to suggest that there are things deep within the human spirit that are firmly embedded, dormant, latent, and inactive. These things are always positive, even though they may be destructive rather than creative. But there they remain until our lives are swept by the forest fire. It may be some mindless tragedy, some violent disclosure of human depravity, some moment of agony in which the whole country or nation may be involved. The experience releases something that has been locked up within all through the years. If it be something that calls to the deepest things in life, we may, like the jack pine, grow tall. We may, like the jack pine, grow tall and straight against the sky. So the willingness of Jesus to let go of his life in this world brings us to him, and we follow in his way into God. Howard Thurman again. There is at work in the soil, our team sang this, a mystery by which the death of one seed is reborn, a thousandfold in newness of life. The magic of wind, sun, and rain creates a climate that nourishes every living thing. It is law and more than law. It is order and more than order. There is a brooding tenderness out of which it all comes in the contemplation of the earth. I know that I am surrounded by the love of God. All around us, life is dying. Life is being born. How do we together create a new climate of hope? I'm going to close with a poem by Steve Garnisholm, and he answers that question like this. Beloveds, in love you have thrown the seed of yourself into the soil of us. You have sown yourself in the wound of us, the dark, rich humus of our sorrow and lostness. You have surrendered yourself to our pain and the taunting of the demons that haunt us. You've allowed the seed casing of your life to split open and your love to bleed out, reaching, fingering tenderly through the dark soil, infinite power of life creeping out. You've already said, "Into your hand I commend my spirit." You have already died and been raised by a life that is eternal. So now you are ready to ride your little donkey toward us. Resurrected one, ready to be crucified. Amen.
In those final days when Jesus was on the brink of being planted as a seed into the earth, lifted up, he paused and he, as Linda named, could have done any number of things. And what he chose to do was to give those that would have ears to hear or eyes to see a practice that might become a seed for our own lives, a practice that embodies this way of dying and rising. And we have an opportunity every week as a community of faith to come back to that very practice, not a practice that lives just in our minds, but a practice that becomes a way of life that is embodied. We call this practice common union or communion, and we share in this way of life together, reminding ourselves that we are one, connected with all of God's creation and made new in and through the love of God. And we do this recognizing that just like those earliest followers, oftentimes we stumble along or we resist the costly discipleship toward which God calls. We have so many different ways to do this, so many ways to resist or deflect the hope of God's call into our lives. And the church calls this a prayer of confession. And so first we pause to prepare our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our souls, to break bread together by acknowledging some of those ways that we fall short of being the people God longs for us to be. I invite you to stand either in body or spirit as we prepare our hearts to come to the table by sharing these words of confession, which come to us from an indigenous scholar and activist. These words come to us from Vine Deloria, and we'll allow his words to be our prayer. Let us pray. The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms. The peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land?
Hear these words of assurance from the first century. Show yourself to those in need, heal the sick, fill the hungry, give freedom to our prisoners, console the faint-hearted. This way of Christ's beauty and love is yours this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen. And friends, I invite us to join together in the call and response, which has become the church's practice for inviting us to recognize the presence of God in each and every neighbor around us. May the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of that peace one with another.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
You are the giver of every good thing. You create the visible world and all it contains. You inebriate it with inexhaustible springs. You said, "Let us make humanity in our own image." You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. You gave us bodies endowed with five senses and with movement. You brought us into this paradise of delights, but we scorned your commandment. You rightly thrust us forth from this paradise, but you did not wholly reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Heaven and earth are full
Fire of compassion descended and took up residence in bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the rivers in which we are baptized. In the bread and in the cup are fire, fire and Holy Spirit.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ.
Christ's body is newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood poured into our veins. Christ's brightness in our eyes and voice in our ears. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ is mingled with the whole of creation.
Us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared long ago with his close companions, and they have been passed through the generations and named by the church the Lord's Prayer. And this is a paraphrased version from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray.
Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone. We share this meal with people here in the front and people in the back of the sanctuary. They have platters of bread. And in the center of the platter, there are crackers which don't have gluten in them for those of us for whom gluten does not work. In the cup is always grape juice. You are surrounded by prayer stations where you may, either kneeling or standing, take a moment or two to light a candle and be in prayer, listening for God's voice or speaking your own, or simply staying right where you are. We know that every week there are those among us for whom this is something brand new. And for those among us, this is something, a life practice. And so we are gentle with each other and kind and watch over one another in love, because there's nothing you can do to make a mistake, all right? Just move with God's people in God's house.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's forgiveness poured out for the whole world.
Thank you.
encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need or desire in that spirit of prayer. Loving God, for the depth of this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread, we give you thanks. May your love bind us together, and may your hope call us into the world to live and move as expressions of your healing and your justice and your peace. We offer this time in your creative ways in many names. Amen. Friends, it is our deep hope that you will wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting you to take, what seeds God might be inviting you to plant in this moment. We are celebrating a number of different things here at the table as we move toward Easter together. We shared last week, Denise was here to do that, and Andy as well, that we had a team of volunteers come alongside us early in the fall, and they prepared a really long grant for the California Department of Food and Agriculture, and we learned just over a week ago that we had received almost $300,000 to fund the relocation. And all of those funds for that grant, it's a three-year grant. They will allow us to move from the current site. We farm right now. We pay a Catholic church $1 to farm the back of its property, a school, every year. And we will now begin to pay the Park and Rec Department $1 to farm an area that they have. We're really excited to make that move in the fall. Thankfully, we'll have one more season of growing this summer. And so we're out at the farm now on Tuesdays and Saturdays preparing those beds. And then we'll be growing food alongside neighbors in the current location. And we're giving that food away through an interfaith food bank here in Sacramento. We will make the move in the fall. So we have a number of months to prepare for that, and that will allow the Catholic Church to sell that land so they can address deferred maintenance on their facility and us to enter into this very new partnership that we're excited about. Our Easter offering this year will go to support one of the amazing parts of Table Farm, and that is a paid summer fellowship for high school students. So if you make a gift today to support our Easter offering, all of that gift will go to support high school fellowships and students that will be coming alongside to learn about regenerative farming and then also food insecurity and sustainability and justice through that summer fellowship. Outside, you'll find Rise Up Bread, and you can order Rise Up Bread for the month of April. You can choose which dates you'd like to have that delivered, and if there are dates you don't want to have bread, you can make those choices on there as well. And our schedule for Holy Week. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday, which is a week from today, and we'll gather there, and you can find the other days and times that we'll be together on Maundy Thursday. It will be a potluck, so we encourage you to wonder about what you might bring, and then we'll be out there on the 28th at the farm together. I invite you to stand either in body or spirit, and we'll move together. This is our music team sharing another song inspired by Howard Thurman. This is Open Unto Me.
Wisdom in confusion, courage from my fear, joy for my sorrow, open unto me. Strength for my weakness, hope for my despair. Peace for my troubles, open unto me.
My troubles, open up to me. Oh. yes to what will be, rooted in this moment. Each and given, thanks for all you've given. Yes to what will be, rooted in this moment. Each and given, thanks for all you've given. Yes to what will be, rooted in this moment. Each and given,
I wanna give thanks to all
yes to what you've
given.
Rooted in this moment.
May we see our lives as seeds that open unto God, because all around us, life is dying and life is being born. Go in peace.